Thought I'd share a picture with you, everybody. Now, some of the younger ones you can't see very well, can you? Why not come right round to the front? You can. Come as close as you like. I don't mind. You can stay where you want to if you want, but if you'd like to see the picture better, you can come up to the front. And every now and then I'll turn it round anyway, so that my friends behind me, our glorious choir, we want them to see the picture as well. Hope you can see it up in the galleries. If you're right up the back and can't see it very well, well, you can always stand, as long as you don't stand in front of somebody else. So, a little story. We had it, of course, wonderfully portrayed by the young disciples earlier in dramatic form. Paul and Silas, preachers of the good news of Jesus, getting into terrible trouble because, well, they weren't supposed to be going around talking about Jesus. And so the authorities put them into jail, and it actually says that they put them in the stocks. Now, you probably don't know what the stocks is, but the stocks was a sort of horrible punishment by which, well, what happened was that your feet and your hands actually had to go through that little hole, you see, so that you had to sit behind, and then they put your feet in the stocks, like sort of that, so that you couldn't move. And if anybody wanted to come and laugh at you or throw things at you, see, they could. Mind you, they were in prison, so there was no one to laugh at them. Exactly, they were on their own, but nevertheless, they couldn't move hand or foot. And that's what happened to them. They were in the stocks, not very nice. You'd hate it. I mean, you could do it for quarter of an hour, two minutes, but no longer. But nevertheless, Paul and Silas, because they knew they were friends of Jesus, they didn't mind. They didn't care. They said, come on, Paul, come on, Silas, let's have a song together. And they began to sing, it says, at midnight. Isn't it wonderful to be able to sing at midnight? But that's what they did. I don't know whether they had song sheets or not. Anyway, they were just singing. And Paul said, I'll start, and then Silas, you keep going. Then they'd sing together. And it says the other prisoners, they heard them. So it was a very special moment while they were singing. And you can imagine, I don't know, what would they have sung? I don't know. But anyway, the music was coming out, and it was like a sort of special moment in the prison. People say, what's that? I can hear music. What are they singing? Oh, they're singing about Jesus Christ. They're singing about forgiveness. They're singing about purpose in life. Why are these prisoners so happy when their feet are in the stocks? But that is exactly what is happening. And they were in prison. We've got to remember that. So we'll put a little prison thing there just to remind ourselves. They were actually in prison, having a very horrible time. They'd been beaten already. Now they were in the stocks. It's only a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that all around the world that is happening to people at this present moment. There are disciples, friends of Jesus Christ, in different countries where it is not popular to be a friend of Jesus Christ. People slapped into prison, people being beaten, people being hurt and punished because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Well, we know what happened, of course, because of what we were told by the young disciples in our reading just a moment ago, of how at midnight, while they were singing and having a wonderful time, suddenly it seems that the jail came adrift because of the earthquake that took place. And I have actually, I don't know how many, anyone here ever been in an earth tremor or an earthquake? Yes. Anybody else? Been in several. Some of the Americans here. Of course, in Robbie Langford in South America would have been earth tremors. I have too. Most eerie sensation. I woke up one day. I could feel my bed moving. And I could see the lamps swinging. I thought, what is... And I could feel the whole room like that. I thought, what is going on? Well, it was so violent here that the walls came adrift on this particular occasion. And the prisoners were free. They could have run. stocks, you know, the chains. Nothing was there to hold Paul and Silas tight anymore. They could have got up. They could have run. They could have said, come on, let's go now. We're free. The walls are down. It didn't happen, though. But the jailer came on the scene. He was really terrified because he thought to himself, the prisoners are going to get away. There he is with his keys. And as he saw what was happening, he was about to kill himself because he thought, if I let those prisoners go, the Roman authorities, because they were living in the Roman Empire, they'll have me put to death. They'll kill me. I mustn't let the prisoners go. And so he was in a terrible state. But Paul was saying to him, look, he was saying, don't worry, Mr. Jailer man, because actually we're all here, and although there's not much left of the prison, he said, don't worry. It's all right. We're here. We're not going to run away. I think I would have run away. But Paul, you see, I think he had in his mind the thought, we're going to help this jailer. How can we help this jailer not to feel frightened? So Paul says, don't be afraid. It's all right. We're all here. And the jailer doesn't know what to say, except that this is something, well, he doesn't know what to do, except that he has heard the singing, of course, at midnight. He and his wife, they'd gone to bed, they'd seen news at 10, and then they had gone to an early bed, and then suddenly this extraordinary thing at midnight. And so he kneels down in front of Paul and Silas, they're both there, and he asks them a question. What must I do to be saved? You'd have thought they would be asking that question. What can we do to be safe? How can we get out of jail? Now here is the man who is in fact the jailer in charge of the jail saying, what can I do to be safe? And of course what he meant was to be safe from not being friends with God, from being away from forgiveness. He knew what he was like. He needed forgiveness terribly. And so he says to those two, you've got the answer to all my problems. How can I be saved? How can I have forgiveness? How can I have a purpose in life like you've got? I'd like to have it. And I bet there are people in church this morning who say exactly the same thing. Wish my life was together. Wish I could get my life together. Why isn't it together? Has anybody got the answer? And Paul knew what the answer was and spoke to him and said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and all your family. Now what about it? He said, Jesus Christ is the answer. And he explained, of course, to him how Jesus was the most wonderful person who'd ever lived, walked around this world, kind to everybody, how he did wonderful acts of healing and help, and then how he was put to death by his enemies, but then how he was raised on the third day at Easter, and what he had done was so that we could be forgiven. He died that we might be forgiven, says the hymn. So all this was explained to the jailer. What must I do to be saved? And Paul's answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You'll have forgiveness, peace of mind, all those things that you want. So it was a wonderful moment in the Acts of the Apostles, in that story that we had read. You can imagine the jailer gasping as he asked that Christ would come into his life. And then we understand about him being forgiven and then baptized. And then he washed the wounds of the prisoners. He said, look, I'll help you to feel better. Let me wash your wounds. You've been whipped, you've been beaten, you've had your feet in the stocks. I'll put some plaster on. I'll help you if I can. And then he said to his wife, come on. He said, get up. We're going to enter the Christian life together, all of us. We're going to start life with Jesus. So she got up, and he said, let's have a meal when we've done it. Well, she got up. She still had her sort of, there she is in the background. She's got her sort of nightcap on, I don't know what she's got on, but she's wearing something it isn't. Then she started thinking about, what are we going to cook for them? You know. But first of all, they had the baptism at midnight. So it's all running in together, you see, the baptism, then a midnight feast. And then she's saying to herself, what should we give them to eat? What can we give them to eat? And she wondered about it. She thought maybe, well, she just tried to think of her best, the best thing she could put on. What would it be? Can you imagine it, ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys? The baptism taking place of the whole family, all of them, at midnight, children, you know, getting out of bed. What's happening? We're going to be followers of Jesus Christ. That's what's going to happen. And then we're going to have something to eat, a midnight feast. So was it scrambled egg? I don't know, really. I mean, as they talked about it, maybe she asked them what they wanted. I don't know. We can imagine that Paul would have been there saying to Silas, she's going to make us scrambled egg. What do you think you'd like? And you can imagine Silas thinking about it and wondering, well, what shall we have? And he puts in his... He puts in his little order. I was trying to spell spaghetti bolognese this morning. Because I'm sure they had spaghetti, because this was in the Roman Empire. Plenty of spaghetti. Whatever it was they had, scrambled egg or spaghetti bolognese, we don't know. But they had a wonderful time together. First, the baptism, then the feast. And then the next morning, the Roman magistrate saying, it's okay, you can let the prisoners go. It's all right, forget it, don't worry anymore. So the jailer was as happy as anything. Can't imagine how happy he was. So that as we come to our last little scene then, so we're thinking really about people like ourselves. What about ourselves and our need of forgiveness? Our need in all of our families, whatever our situation is, to know Jesus Christ and to follow him and to have that purpose in life, which is so vital. So is there somebody, again, feeling a little bit wistful, thinking, I'd like to be safe for time and for eternity? I'd like to know Christ. I'd like to have his forgiveness. So there's Mrs. Jailer. And she was, of course, very, very happy because then she joined her husband. They both became followers of Jesus Christ. Not just the husband and wife, but the children as well. You can imagine how they were sort of very, very slightly bewildered, perhaps, because of the earthquake, and then the baptism. But they'd had enough. It's been explained to them what it was all about. We're going to be followers of Jesus Christ for always. Then the baptism. And then they said, now let's have the midnight feast. It's all in the Bible. I think it's absolutely wonderful, wonderful book. That there is this explanation to us of how Jesus Christ can come right into a family, even at midnight. So my last thing to say is this. No time like the present. No time like the present. You could have said, you might have thought that the jailer would have said, look, let's hear more about it tomorrow. I'll join a class. I'll come to a class which you can run, Paul. But I won't become a Christian tonight, of course. Not just after the earthquake, but another day, when I'm more ready. Paul says, no time like the present. So he believes in Jesus, baptized that very day, the whole family, the lot of them. So my last thing is to say, is no time like the present. How long have you been waiting for it? Ladies and gentlemen, are you waiting for your crisis? Don't wait for the crisis to come. The crisis is now. As I explained to you, just in this simple little story, how each one of us needs to put our trust in Jesus Christ. We'll help you. After the service is over, I'll stick around at the front for a bit, I'm sure, and some of my helpers, there's Jill Bond there and several of them, some of you younger ones, some of you people who are up to about 8 years of age, this is quite a good little book. Would You Like to Know Jesus, it's called. And then towards the end, it has a little prayer that you can make your own by asking Christ. There's the prayer, just on the near the back. Ask for that book. I've got only one on me, but Jill has got enough for all of you to have one, if you want to have one. You can just ask the ladies at the front. They'll be there, and I'll be at the front too. If you think, I'd like to make that prayer my own. Same prayer that the jailer prayed. Or you older boys and girls, above 8. That's quite a nice little book written by a friend of mine called Norman Warren. Very helpful. He's put a little prayer at the back of the book. Again, we've got plenty of copies of that. Ask us. Ask one of us. Ask one of us helpers at the front on your way out. Or write in one day for it. Or ask your Sunday school teacher, I'd like that book one day. Or say to your mum and dad, please get that book for me one day. Or why not today? You older ones, grandfathers and fathers and mothers and uncles and aunts, whoever you may be, there's a little book I wrote, Making a Start. It's for adults. Making a Start. That's what the jailer did.